No, we, you know, I mean, we just, we, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were.
Say that one more time, please. One more time. Boom! One more time. Boom!
Welcome to the Bear Essentials. On today's show, I'm joined by Cody Stutes from Houston Football as we recap the 2025 Reese's Senior Bowl and much, much more. All right, the audience, says, as I mentioned, we're joined by Cody here. Cody, get on in here and talk to him, man. How you doing, brother?
Doing great, man. I'm doing great. You got, did you set it up for everybody to the point where it's like, the universe put us together, because it was just me going, hey, can I see that roster you got? Because I got in after you and I don't have a roster. And then the next thing you know, we're talking football for an hour. And the next thing you know, here we are on your show talking about the Senior Bowl, man. This was the universe threw us together and now we're talking ball. I love it.
It really did. And also, too, man, I don't think you realize this, Cody, but now you just stuck with me. So I'm going to be talking football with you pretty much here going up forward. So you're just stuck with prayers here. So sorry
about
that.
It's one of my favorite things to do. So it's not going to be – you're not hurting my feelings.
And, audience, you guys know how I do. I just love, you know, being around people that's connected to the sport. And I saw Cody. He was locked in, had the binoculars. I felt even bad just, like, bothering him. But I was like – I got there a little late, and I'm like, shit, I hope I didn't, like – miss anything important. And then we just started chopping it up and the rest is history, man. So Cody, thank you so much for jumping on here, man. And audience, as I mentioned, he covers the Texans and I'm in no position to be talking about anybody's offense, but they're in search of an offensive coordinator. Cody and I were chopping it up about some of CJ Stroud's struggles. So Cody, what are your thoughts here with the OC search for the Texans? Kind of what are you seeing and what are you thinking?
Man, it's been a lengthy process, but I feel like most of these OC searches have ended up being kind of longer ones. It's different when you fire a guy versus when you have a guy leave. So like Tampa has a guy leave. Okay, pretty easy for them to kind of sit there and say, all right, well, let's just promote from within. Let's talk to a couple outside candidates, but you know, take a look at our guy and really kind of lean on him. The Texans, and they've talked to a bunch of different people. They've talked to some people where they've been the only guy that's talked to that person. They've talked to some people where a lot of teams have talked to them. And it feels to me like there's a lot of information gathering from the Texans when they talk to these different guys. Like Brian Johnson, who's in Washington now after being in Philadelphia. Hey, what did you see? What do you think? Hey, when stuff went wrong for you, how did you fix it as a coach? Like, we need to maybe pick his brain about that. Then they talk to their own guys in Bill Lazor and quarterbacks coach Gerard Johnson. And it's like, hey, what did you guys see? Speak freely. The offensive coordinator, your boss, isn't here anymore. Speak freely. What did you see? And then they give you all the dirt about how it looked from the inside. And then you can ask them, well, why didn't you fix it? Exactly. You know, so that's always a fun one too, as well. And the guy that I like for this role that they have, and the position, is the Rams tight ends coach / pass game coordinator, a guy named Nick Caley. Caley has been in L.A. for 2 years. He's previously with the Patriots. So him and Texans general manager Nick Caserio, they overlap in New England. And what I like about Caley is not only did he interview for the Texans job a couple years ago, not get it, he went and got the Sean McVay sprinkle, which everybody loves a little Sean McVay sprinkle in their offensive mind. And then last year, he turned down almost $3 million to be the Patriots offensive coordinator. So he's pretty particular about what he wants to do for his next stop. But I feel like if he picks the Texans and the Texans pick him, it's kind of like the two attractive people in high school end up as prom king and prom queen. You know, it's like, oh, okay, like I get it. Like Texans were a pretty good opening. He's a pretty good candidate. They both kind of picked each other. It's like, hopefully that's a very prosperous relationship, but they had to do something. Anytime your star quarterback, or hopefully star quarterback, or franchise QB, however you want to phrase it, anytime they don't have significant success, you take a look at everything And Stroud's got to take a look at some of the stuff that he did too, and the process that he had for his first offseason. And then you take a look at it all, and ultimately it was time to make a change with Bobby Slowick, and I believe it's going to be time to make a change with a totally new way of doing things on the offensive side of the building, because D'Amico Ryan's done – he doesn't mosey over there very often. He's worried about running that defense. So the top offensive mind, I like Nick Caley. We'll see if that's where they go, but – the search continues and could last for a little while now.
And you guys got a little competition, I see.
The Buccaneers ultimately are going to decide, it looks like, to promote one of their guys off of their staff.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And, yeah, so Caley, if Caley wants to leave, his options are, like, the Raiders and the Texans. Yeah. Or stick around with Sean McVay for another year and go be a top candidate again next year, you know. So Caley's got some options, and we know based off the way he operated last year that he is a precarious one and very selective. So I'm hoping he selects the Texans. If that's the case, then the Texans will be on their way with a McVay disciple, so to speak.
You can't go wrong with that. We already know how important those coaching trees are. And, you know, when you were talking about Caley, it reminded me of Ben Johnson, right, and how his search was. Because you saw last year, he took his name out of the running, and a lot of people were like, what was that about, right? And we found out, hey, Ben was like, hey, I have some unfinished business here, but I also want to be very selective about the role that I'm getting ready to take. And he's here in Chicago, and I'm hoping for the best with that one.
I like that, because there's so many young – impressive offensive minds coming into the NFL, coming into football. You may only get one shot at a promotion. And if you mess it up because of things outside of your control, it's a tough spot to put yourself in and have to work back from that, because hey, you mess up once as a head coach, you're not always guaranteed another shot. You mess up as an offensive coordinator, you're not always guaranteed another shot. So being selective, being precarious about your process, and then knowing that you're ready when you do try to take that leap, that's a big thing of that I believe we'll see more coaches do going forward.
But I will tell you, if he decides to move there, I mean, that's a very attractive job. And you know, I'm not going to really say too much about Lazor and Bobby, but the thing is that I think CJ Stroud, you have a top level quarterback there. I don't know really what happened and what went into his drop off, but I'm telling you, I think that's a very attractive position. And if he takes that position and CJ gets back to where he's at, now you're fast tracking him as a potential head coaching candidate, you know?
That's what you're hoping for, you know, is like, Tampa's had to replace a guy back-to-back years because he ended up being a head coaching candidate. That's a good spot to be in. That means you've got a lot of things going your way, and it also means you know how to go and identify talent. And I also believe some of the guys the Texans talked to in this process, some of those guys were talked to in the event they end up with a one-and-done or two-and-done offensive coordinator, just to kind of be on those guys' radar for down the road and get those guys on their radar in case Nick Caley's really successful after 1 or 2 years, or whoever they hire is really successful after 1 or 2 years.
Yeah, man. It's very, you know, and this is the thing, man, with these, at this time of year, right? This is that time of year where just everything is like so chaotic, so many moving chairs, man. So I'll definitely, you know, kind of stay tuned in and, you know, what's going on with you guys, the Chicago Bears, as I mentioned earlier, Ben Johnson's assembled his staff audience. We talked about that a little earlier today. So what I want Cody and I to really dive into for the majority of this session here is, I saw you there, man. You were locked in. You were taking your notes. I would like, the first day, that's when Cody and I met, I would like to say, hey, did you see such and such, or who? What number was that? And he had his notepad, and I was like, okay, so he's real. So I was like, I'm standing by the right guy. But I want to get your thoughts, Cody, just all-encompassing. Were there just like a couple guys that you were like, hey, you know what? Fuck the Texans. But just overall, like, who you thought really impressed you and also really helped their draft stock?
Yeah, so number one for me, and I wrote his name down, I wrote his number down each day and multiple times throughout the course of the day. is Toledo defensive lineman Darius Alexander. And it just felt like every time I looked up, he was beating a different offensive lineman. You know, some guys, they end up like, oh, like, hey, they beat that same guy over and over and over again. But Alexander was moving around. He was giving everybody that went up against him a good amount of work. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm super familiar with Alexander's work at Toledo this year, but I fell in love with Quinyon Mitchell as a prospect a year ago out of Toledo. And I talked to Darius Alexander about this, and I was like, you know, did that sort of give you additional confidence? Because Quinyon Mitchell was out of Toledo, just like you. He goes and has an incredible season, might be defensive rookie of the year. And he's like, we always used to talk about it. It's just go be good and guys will find you. And that's what I feel like Darius Alexander finally was here, is like, go be good and guys will find you. And if he wasn't on people's radars, he's got to jump up on people's radars. He was just, man, it felt like every time I looked up, number nine, which is what he wore at the at the senior, it felt like number nine was giving somebody the business.
And you know what, Cody, that was so interesting because 2 to 3 days, he was in my notebook as well. And the biggest takeaway I have from him was just explosive, right? You probably noticed that too, just off the snap, boom, he was in the backfield. And he was pretty much lining up pretty much wherever they needed him, right? And I liked it. I was like, there's some versatility with this kid. And he's someone that came into the Senior Bowl with not a lot of people really having a lot of attention to him. And I think, to your point, he really, really changed that narrative.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's got to be – and I know I was watching, you know, Nick Caserio, the general manager, DeMeco Ryans, the head coach for the Texans. They're sitting there and they're watching the O-line, D-line, that early that early practice. And I'm like, oh, I hope they wrote number nine's number down, because, you know, I know that the Texans need some help on offense and this and that. But ooh, he ends up in a room with DeMeco Ryans. And like, the thing for Alexander would be if he ends up on a line that's already got established guys and he doesn't have to help right away, like he can maybe over the course of the season grow into the role. That's where I really think you could see a maximization of what he brings to the table, is not having to worry about him. Hey, day one, go out there and try to figure it out against all these different, you know, professionals at the NFL level. Like, hey, we'll ease you in and get you ready. And that's what I think is really exciting about a guy like Darius Alexander, is he didn't have to be ready day one if he goes to a situation that's already got some dudes on the defense.
Yeah, it's got to be the right situation. Do you see him more as a three technique? Because that's kind of how I had him pegged. What are your thoughts there?
Oh, so sure. He couldn't just play almost any interior, and then maybe even, you know, like in a pinch, a little bit of edge. Like, maybe I wouldn't start him out there on the edge, but in the right situation, guy got banged up in the middle of a game. Let's throw Darius out there for a pass rush snap or two on the edge and just see what he can do. Just because he's not like a, I mean, he is not like a giant. He's not a great big fat person, is the way I phrase it. You know, like he's tall, lean. You saw the power though. So I wouldn't put him in a box. I think this is the type of guy you could figure it out wherever. Obviously, maybe a different learning curve for some spots versus others, but I think you could figure it out with him just about anywhere interior.
And you know what? When I was speaking to him, Cody, after the second practice, he mentioned to me that he really loved the defensive line there with Houston. He talked about Danielle Hunter, and he got really excited about Will Anderson. So I was kind of thinking to myself, like, well, for the Bears, you know, it seems like this guy's kind of got a team in mind that he wouldn't mind playing for.
Hey, I think a lot of these guys got a preferred team.
Yeah.
And then ultimately that preferred team is whoever calls their name.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But he kind of signaled it. And I'm like, you know what? Those two guys that you named, they're dogs. So I get it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm sticking with the trenches. Gray Zabel, North Dakota State.
Let's go. Yeah.
North Dakota State guard, Gray Zabel. And this is a guy, and it feels like we've seen guys like him pop up over the past 4 or 5 years. And I think back to Hody Mock, who's now in Tampa. I think back to Quinn Marins, who's in Denver. He came out of UW Whitewater. And it's like North Dakota State's like a little bit more noticeable than most because they win so many of the FCS championships. But it's like, okay, like let's take the step up in work and let's see what you could do. And then Gray Zabel went out there and he was a damn brick wall most of the time. Like, I mean, he went out there and he was just what I loved was it was over the second and third day. I called it the trilogy. So on the second day, him and Florida State defensive lineman Joshua Farmer, they went 1-1. They each won a rep on the second day. And then they didn't get another rep against the other one as kind of the rotation went around. And then on the third day of practice, it was like, okay, here they go. Here they're matching up again. And Judge's scorecard, Gray Zabel 2, Josh Farmer 1 in the
Oof.
three matchups. And he held his own. And that's probably the biggest thing. The one thing I will say about him is he played tackle for North Dakota State. And people are going to see that and be like, well, man, what's that? You know, oh, he's going to go inside. Oh, he's going to maybe play center. He told me the other night, he's like, yeah, I played center in high school. And so snapping the ball is like, it's not like I'm learning how to do it. Like I'm just getting back into rhythm. So it's really not that big a deal. I'll play on the interior. I can help out on tackle in a pinch. He's like, but I know most teams are going to try to play me on the interior. And so, you know, I'm excited for that. And he went out there and it proved it right a bunch, and it's a good job by him. And I'm not surprised if he sneaks into the back part of the first round. One of these teams that has a little bit of luxury to kind of play with their draft pick there at the back part of the first round. I wouldn't be surprised if he was there.
See, that is a surprise because I was kind of looking at him for the Bears. Because when I look at that, you, Cody, you already know where our offensive line situation is. That's low hanging fruit. But when I looked at this guy, I circled him down because I was like, even though he played tackle at North Dakota State, I'm like, he could slide in the guard and start for the Bears like right away, immediately. And to the point that you made, I can't recall a rep that he lost this week. And I know everybody's going to get beat, but I just didn't see it. And that was something about him that it really stood out to me. And he was just tough out there, nasty, like you said, a stone wall out there. Like he finished well. He would be perfect here in Chicago. And that's the guy right here that I really, really hope that Ryan Poles and company take a look at.
What I really like about him is when you, and they don't do a ton of team stuff. I mean, you know, it's very limited team stuff, but when they did do team stuff and the guy around him or somebody was already blocked and there was nobody there, he went and found work. He went and went out there and like went and found more guys to go block. And that's not something you always see from
Not at these
offensive linemen.
days, but especially
No.
not at the Senior Bowl. What do you think
Yeah. So I thought that was another great job by him too.
it is about North Dakota State? Because you're so correct in the fact that these last 3 to 4 Senior Bowls that I've covered, they've had a stud that's been in that mix.
I'm wondering if they, I mean, it's something in the water up there. I mean, they get a bunch of those kids. I do think that to get to the level that a program like that has, you've got to have a very good group of, you've got to have a very good group of coaches that identify exactly the type of guy that is going to go there and going to play there. And let me tell you, I've never been to North Dakota, but I can't imagine that there's a lot of beautiful weather days for most of the year in Fargo, North Dakota. So you got to find guys that aren't bothered by cold weather, want to work hard, and probably there's some chip on the shoulder element to that as well. And look, you start having some success too, and then maybe a couple of extra eyeballs show up there, and a guy wants to go start at North Dakota State rather than sit the bench at, you know, some big program in the Power Five or Group of Five or whatever, and you all of a sudden you end up with a little bit of extra talent. So it's a cool program, and it's cool that they've been able to have the level of success that they have had, and they started to put guys in the NFL. So and it goes back to that thing I said about Darius Alexander talking with him is, if you're good, they'll find you.
That's right. That's right.
They'll
And we
find you.
know that about scouts.
Yep.
So I want to switch over to the offensive side of the ball. This is someone that you and I, day one, and we both circled on our list, and that was our brother Tez Johnson. Cody, can you just please talk to the audience just about your initial impression when you saw him out there on that grass?
It's just effortless the way he beats defenders. The third day, I didn't see him lose a rep. I mean, he beat the guy and then dropped a pass, but like the defenders did not go and stop him very often. And it really is. I wrote down effortless multiple times with him, and with him, he's got to go win and get away from some of the big body guys or guys that are going to get in on him. But if they never get a hand on him, like with press coverage and stuff like that, then they don't ever get to body him up. They don't ever get to take advantage of his size. I mean, he's in the same mold as Tank Dell. And I know that Tank Dell, from a height, weight, standpoint, he was a big outlier. And there have been a bunch of guys that have been that size that have never been Tank Dell successful. But it's easier to see it when a guy like Tank Dell has just recently been successful, and he and Tez Johnson has sort of that same element for him. I have to imagine it was even a little bit more for him. He's originally from Alabama, so definitely a little bit more like let's put on for the state. And somebody gets him, they're going to get a guy that is going to be reliable. And they're going to need to put some stuff in for him. But when they put that stuff in there for him, you can count on him making it pay off in short order.
And you know what the interesting thing about him, Cody, you and I, we talked about it, but everyone talked about his size. You know, he weighed in at what, probably a buck 60. And when you were down there on the field, you looked at him, you're like, he's probably even a buck 50, if I'm being honest. But it didn't matter, man, because it didn't matter where they lined him up. You can't beat what you can't touch. And the separation that he was able to get, like you said, effortless, but his releases off the line of scrimmage, all that shit was flawless to me. And I looked at a guy that there were 5 to 8 yards difference between him whenever he cut. And I'm like, he's getting a lot of respect out here. And also, a lot of that, Cody, I thought was just guys just didn't want to I don't think they wanted to be made to look foolish because.
Yeah, there's definitely an element of you've seen this over the years. Like somebody starts having a good couple of days, and then all of a sudden the guy's like, "Oh, my back's a little tight. Why don't you take this rep?" And it's like Tez Johnson definitely was one of the, it felt like one of those guys. Like guys were like, "Oh, my, I gotta tie my shoe. You take this rep." Oh, okay.
But man, he was something else, man. And getting to talk to him, and he even talked about the Tank Dell comparisons. And he said, hey, there are a lot of similarities in my game. And he said, hey, look, I knew what was up against me coming out here, that everybody wanted to focus on my lack of size and this and that. But he's like, but when you lace them up, that stuff doesn't matter. And I mean, everything he was saying, I'm like, man, this kid's a freaking dog.
Yeah, I mean, well, guys like him have been told they're small their whole life, so they're ready to use it and use it to their advantage and not let it be an issue for them.
And you know, another thing too, we were even talking about it. I was asking him about his training and whatnot. Think about this, Cody. He still has another month to really lock in and focus on his training. So anyone is worried about the size, he still has time to get the weight up, right? So he can get up to about buck 65, buck 70, if that really matters. So he's still got time.
Yeah, it's one of those where you're like, hey, can I? Okay, what's the biggest breakfast I can have? And drink a lot of water, and maybe hide like a, maybe hide like a hand weight in the underwear, just so it adds a couple extra pounds. Anything to get you a couple extra pounds on the scale, when that combine weigh-in happens.
No, for sure. What'd you think about Elijah Arroyo from Miami?
I mean, baller. Like he very clearly to me looks like you're just your receiving tight end. Like I don't know exactly how many total tight end things you're gonna trust him with, but look, the NFL is an offensive league, and you need big guys to go out there and be too fast for linebackers and be too big for defensive backs and create mismatches for you, and he certainly can do that.
No, he could, he definitely can. And one of the things too that I wanted to talk to the audience about is when you look at a guy like this, he's in that mold of when you think of what the U tight ends were. I mean, think about it. You're Kellen Winslow's, and I know people don't leave me alone for even mentioning his name, but the kid could play back in his time. A Greg
Yeah.
Olsen, right? Like that type of tight end is what his mold is. And he just didn't get a chance to display a lot of that because he was hurt so much in college. But this kid, man, he could play. He was making so many plays in the red zone during the Senior Bowl all week. I'm like, man, if he can stay healthy, he's gonna be a problem at the next level.
There's definitely there's definitely some late bloom to him, and there's definitely some projection necessary. But from a toolsy standpoint, it's like, okay, let's get him in the building. And even if we have to fine-tune some things about the position for him, we can't teach him to be super fast at, 6'4", 250. We could teach him how to, make those routes a little crisper. We could teach him where to line up and run and use leverage and stuff like that. We can't teach him to be bigger, stronger, faster.
No, you can't teach that. And what that kid has, you can't teach that. I mean, that's just God given, you know what I mean? So he was one that really impressed me. I know the Bears fans are listening to this and they're like, what other offensive lineman does Cody have on his list? So Cody, what you got for him?
Okay, so this one's probably a bad one, because like I thought the defensive lines just crushed. Like the defensive lines to me just had a ton of great days in a row.
A lot of juice, right?
Yeah, a lot of juice. And like the offensive linemen fought back a little bit on day two, but ultimately I would tell you, and we knew this coming in, this was going to be like a really big defensive line forward week at the Senior Bowl because of the talent that they had invited to the Senior Bowl. But I mean, two Big 12 guys that were basically career tackles that I don't feel like did a very good job for themselves were West Virginia's Wyatt Milam and Texas Tech's Caleb Rogers. I mean, both those guys were playing inside. They were even taking some reps at center, and it didn't look good for either of those guys. And I'm just like, uh-oh, like are you going to end up being like a tackle only guy, and then are you going to be able to play left tackle at the next level? So like now, are you going to only be a right tackle guy? And so you're like, that sort of limits the amount of teams that might be interested in you if it gets to that level. So I think that that's probably a pretty scary spot to be in if you're one of these tackles that tried to play inside and it didn't go so well. Like, Gray Zabel, it went really well. For those guys, I don't think it went as well. And then I'm going to butcher the guy's name, but I thought he actually had I thought he was worse at tackle, but he was really good inside, even though I think he wants to play tackle, but I think he's going to be a guard. From Arizona, Jonah Savanaea.
Yeah, you were talking about him day one.
He played a ton of interior at Arizona early in his career, and then he ended up playing a little bit more tackle towards the back end of his Arizona career. And I didn't feel like he looked very good at tackle at the Senior Bowl, but I felt like he looked really good at guard at the Senior Bowl. And so that's a guy with, okay, in an emergency, or maybe we like him at tackle, but we know he can play guard. So if you draft him, you got to learn how to say his name, and you got to learn where he's going to play. I think he can work out at guard. And then saying the name, I gotta, look, I for any of Jonah's family that listened to your podcast, I'm sorry, I gave it my best shot.
Hey, I think they'll appreciate the fact that you're even talking about him because he definitely showed up and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does in the game tomorrow. But Cody, that's one right there that I felt like when the ball was snapped, he was moving somebody. And that was pretty
Yeah.
clear.
And he felt like I could watch it. Like, with offensive linemen, I don't like them to get too high or too low. Like defensive linemen, you want to have like a juice moment where you're like, yeah, let's go. Like, I like that for defensive linemen. Offensive linemen, I like them to kind of stay cool and stay kind of level-headed. But you could sort of see, like, after a couple of reps didn't really go his way, you could sort of see how, like, the volcano starting to bubble a little bit, and then it's like, okay, all right, he's about to try to put somebody into the dirt here. And man, he's got probably some ability to add some size too if they need to bump him inside. So pretty intriguing guy.
What do you think about Josh currently? Outside of that viral play that everybody's clipping up and showing it, what Mike Green did out there, which that's another guy I want to get your thoughts on. But what do you think about Josh currently for the week?
I felt like he handled himself really well. Playing tackle at Oregon and then trying to play inside, that's very different. And the willingness to come to the Senior Bowl when you're one of the top tackles and go out there and compete, that's a positive for you, even if sometimes the results at the practices are kind of negative. And like, yeah, he had a negative play here or there. The offensive linemen are set up to fail in like in these drills, just like the linebackers are set up to fail when they go to cover the corners. I mean, go to cover the running backs.
The running backs, yeah.
Yeah, just like the corners are set up to fail when they go to cover the wide receivers. So like you can succeed 80% of the time, and that's a great hit rate. And I thought he had a really nice week. Obviously, the versatility to go inside and outside is attractive. He's probably a guard at the next level, even though he played tackle in college. And he's only 21 years old, and he won't turn 22 until this season. So there's still some maturity and maybe even some growth to him. And yeah, the viral clip, not great. The overall performance, better than the viral clip would lead you to believe.
No, 100%. But like, you know what the thing that I like, and this is the thing that you've said about a couple of these linemen, is that positional versatility. And that is so important, especially in today's game, just to have a guy like that, because you never know what happens with injuries, right? You may have to kick somebody inside, or you might have to go to reverse opposite of that, right? So listening to you talk about some of these prospects, I think that's very key. And for a lot of these guys to be able to put that on film this week, I think it helped a lot of these guys out.
I mean, you look no further than the NFC Championship game. The Eagles got to move a guard to center and a center to guard and a bench player who was the backup center to guard. This mixing and matching. And, look, especially for if you're drafting a guy in the second round, in the third round, in the fourth round, you can put him at a bunch of different spots in training camp and start to find out about him and then let him grow into a position change. Or moving inside, or give him the chance to succeed at that old position. Like, you don't necessarily want to, like, hey, draft a guy in the first round and I don't know if it's going to work. Like, you could get a little bit more loose in the second, third, fourth, fifth round with some of these guys. Cause, look, some of these guys are going to be day three guys. And you know what? The most expensive offensive lineman in upcoming free agency is a former day three guy in Trey Smith. So, he's about to go be very expensive. And he was a guy that watched, 225 guys go in front of him. And he's one of
Sure
the best
did.
guards in football now. So, guys can grow into the position changes and things like that. So, that's great for that's one of the biggest benefits of the Senior Bowl for an offensive lineman is not only the compete stuff, but compete at a position you weren't playing for your college team.
No, 100%. And Trey Smith is definitely someone that Bears Nation is salivating over, but it's gonna cost. It's gonna
Oh
fucking
yeah.
cost.
Oh yeah.
What about Willie Lampkin? I mean, I thought he was someone that really impressed me. I mean, coming in here to the Senior Bowl, 5'10", 270 pounds, and I thought he held his own.
Did a good job, and low man wins. It's tough to beat Willie when you got it when it's low man wins, because he already starts down there real low. I think that's very much a compete thing. Like, come in, I don't care about my size. I'm gonna be strong. I'm gonna be technique solid, and I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna try to win as many things as I can. And that's exactly what he did, and he did a really good job improving the perception, probably, about what he can bring to the table, because it's going to look funny. It certainly is going to look funny, but if he can block them, somebody will play him.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, well, some of the things that he just demonstrated to me was the things you can't teach, and it's hard because he was going up against, I mean, there was plays that he was going up against Walker. Walker's a freaking beast at 340, right? And
Yeah.
to the point that you mentioned, Cody, these linemen are set up to fail in these drills. And when you got guys like a Willie Lampkin who's undersized and he's winning consistently, right? He's not going to win them all, but right there, that just shows me like this kid's got it where it counts.
Yeah, you gotta be smart. You gotta have a motor, and it he showcased both of those.
Yeah, man. And the thing about it is like you said, he's got that anchor, right? And that's something that's going to really be key for him at that next level.
No doubt.
Mike Green. Now we know that he left a little bit early. Brother, brother, brother. Talk to him, Cody.
Man, it just I love like this is the beauty of the draft process, because guys like Mike Green, probably aren't, internet famous 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And he probably, because the draft, it was important, but it's never been like it is the hope springs eternal offseason moment for everybody. He probably ends up in a situation where not a lot of people see him. Maybe scouts don't totally see him. He probably ends up as a steal like 5, 6 years ago in like the mid rounds because people didn't see him, and maybe he didn't get the right training or this or that to lead up to the combine. Well, he's got it all right, and he gets to showcase it in front of God and everybody, and then he goes viral for absolutely snatching a soul there. So it's. It's I mean, I what can't you get excited about with him? Like, and that's another thing too, is like, as much as a guy is impressive now, you do like some projection, use some thinking, and that's where coaches really get excited, is they watch a guy like him and they're like, oh yeah, I can do some stuff with him right away. And then in 2 years from now, we're really doing some stuff. And it's like, yeah, okay. I mean, just a really impressive week, really impressive performances. And I do wonder if the opportunity for a rematch ever shows back up, if maybe Mike Green's gonna get a little extra after the whistle for that.
Oh, he's got to. He's got to. I wanted to do
Yeah.
it for him. But Mike Green definitely probably moved himself up into the first round easily, right?
I would tell you that somebody's going to look around and they're going to say, even if he needs an extra year, let's make sure we have that extra year on the contract with that fifth year option that first round picks
Right.
have. So that I'd be shocked if he's waiting around after day one.
Yeah, that I would say that. I mean, in the fact of the matter that he left early, I think he heard something good from his agent.
Yeah, he probably there's probably some like, hey, if you're there, we're gonna, and he's like, oh, okay, well then I don't need to be here anymore.
Yeah, he's like, peace out.
Exactly.
All right, Cody, before we get you out of here, man, anybody else that just was like on your radar, whether it was a front seven guy or whether it was another playmaker, like what you got for us?
I mean, Jack Besh, the TC wide receiver, he came to Mobile with high expectations, and I feel like he fulfilled them. Obviously, Besh has a little bit more, a few more eyeballs on him for an unfortunate reason, because of his brother
His
passing
brother,
away in the terrorist attack that began 2025. Like, that's an unfortunate way to have extra eyeballs on you, but to have that extra attention and then to live up to it, I felt like he did a really good job. Jack Kaiser from Notre Dame,
let's go.
linebacker. Here's what I loved about the Notre Dame guys. It's easy for Riley Leonard to show up after playing 16 games and go play a position where you don't get touched because you wear a red jersey. But when Jack Kaiser already leads the college football world in solo tackles, plays 16 games this year for Notre Dame, and then shows up to the Senior Bowl and is out there thumping and running around and covering running backs and doing a really good job covering
Oh
running
yeah.
backs. I
Oh yeah.
like that. And I asked him, I said, why'd you come here? Because there's a bunch of Texas guys, there's a bunch of Ohio State guys that didn't come to this event. Why'd you come here? And he said, my college career is over. And you're telling me that I get three more practices and one more game as a college football player? Like, how could I not do it? And I was like, oh my goodness.
He's a fucking baller.
Say that in every single meeting. Because
That's right.
Say that in every single meeting. And then I think I liked every tight end at some point over the couple of days. Even the giant guy from UCLA that looked like he should have been playing a different position after day one.
Yeah,
he
I got going. So too.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Jackson Hawes, the Georgia Tech tight end. He has 16 catches this year. He probably caught 16 balls in 2 days of practice this week, including a one-handed snag down the sideline that I was
oh,
like,
yeah. That was sick.
I didn't know you had that. You know, so I love this tight end class. There's guys like the probably two of the or three of the top four guys weren't even here.
Nope.
I love this tight end class. So there's depth to be had at tight end. And then every single team in the NFL should want Auburn running back Jarquez Hunter on their team.
Yeah, he's so damn good.
He attacked guys in the receiving drill,
yes,
like they had personally offended him and said something about his family. And I was like, you don't have to be physical with them there. In fact, it's probably easier if you don't go be physical with them. And then he's like, nah, I'm gonna go be physical with them.
No.
And then the pass blocking, he was a wall. He was a wall in the pass blocking. So I love that about him too.
But then even when he went out to get catches, he was getting open and dusting safeties. I mean, he did it all.
Yeah, he was. I felt like he had a really, really good week. So, Jarquez Hunter, Auburn running back, another guy that just really he jumped out for me after, you know, after you're like, okay, like he just kept making plays. And then Damian Martinez, the running back from Miami, he came on strong the final day, as well. So, you know, after these are tough for running backs. The game is a little bit easier for them. You don't do as much team stuff, and not everybody's a catch it out of the backfield guy. But
that I wanted to add to something on Damian Martinez. He's a bigger back, and I thought that he showed a lot of athleticism. I thought he was really good with his footwork, and he caught the ball really well out of the backfield. So I like that one. He was one I had on my list as well.
Junior Tafuna, interior defensive lineman from Utah. Did not look as large as the other defensive tackles.
Okay.
But he packed a punch, and he was mean. And I saw him get Zabel a couple times. Now, Zabel got him a couple times. You know, the NDSU guy we talked about at the beginning. Yeah. But, yeah, Tafuna from Utah. This feels like a guy that maybe he's around in the NFL for like 8 years. Maybe he's not always a starter. Maybe sometimes he's a starter. But you look up and it's been a decade and he's been in the league and you're like, oh, okay, like that was a nice draft pick. Like,
it worked out pretty good for us.
Yeah. So Tafuna from Utah, the interior defensive lineman.
Man, Cody, thank you so much, man. Man, you came on here, man. You lit it up. And I just enjoyed this discussion because it's always good talking football, but talking football with somebody that knows their shit. And he's like a trenches guy like me. So we both get excited when the one-on-one drills are going on. He was over there in his pad and I'm over here with my camera. Bro, that's the highlight of every one of these Senior Bowl practices for me, is just seeing these guys go one-on-one and just hearing those thuds. Me and you kept talking about the thuds. And so I just love this discussion, bro.
it's the last real football. The Senior Bowl is the last real football we get until training camp starts. So, you know, so we got to enjoy it, savor it, and enjoy it. And, I love chopping it up with solopreneurs. Who are entrepreneurs, so they're solopreneurs. And I was like, it's kind of hard to say, but it makes sense. So a fellow solopreneur like myself.
Yeah, man, we out here doing it, man. That's you. That was me and you, right? Videographer, yeah. Everything.
Yeah, exactly.
But when I was looking at your content coming out, I was like, man, dude, you were efficient with it. I was like, that a boy. I was like looking over there. I was like, okay, I love that.
Yeah. Well, once I finally had a roster, it was much easier too. So I appreciate you for your help on that. Yeah. It's the Senior Bowl. Last year was my first year, and now I don't think I'll ever miss it. It's never. Such a fantastic event.
Yeah, we've been covering this event since 21, and like I said, you have the other ones, but For me, this is the creme de la creme. I mean, if you look at the talent that was on this roster, and I wrote about it, this was the most talented senior bowl roster I've ever seen. And there's been some goals. Now,
You're
not the
gonna, I
quarterback
don't,
class, but
no,
outside
yeah,
of
not that.
that.
Yeah, they had, I think they had, however many first rounders they had last year. And it's like, okay, like that's kind of a top heavy roster. I think this roster is going to be very much a senior bowl class where we're going to look out in a couple of years and be like, man, these guys are just peppering NFL teams across the league and just all up and down depth charts as starters, key backups, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, you got even a guy like my boy Pat Bryant that I covered from Illinois. He's a guy that helped himself. He came into this thing as like kind of a borderline fourth, fifth rounder. He may move into the third round with just how strong he practiced. Like in that day three practice in the one-on-one drills where he literally smoked people out there. Like that's what this event is all about.
Oh yeah. The guy, I mean, and those are the ones you remember too. It's like I remember watching him at the Senior Bowl, and everyone's like, well, I didn't watch him at the Senior Bowl. I'm like, yeah, that's why you follow me, and you follow guys like you, because we do go watch it at the Senior Bowl and we've been telling you about him.
That's right. That's right. Pounding the pavement to get that content for them. And we're
Yep.
pounding the surface, telling you guys, like, these are the guys. These are the guys that you want your team to draft. And Cody, I saw you were keeping your eyes on what Ryan's was doing. I was looking at that. I was like, you were on the same thing I was doing. Was every time Ryan Poles was in one of those scrums, I was like, good, you better be over there with those linemen. So,
Exactly.
Well, cool, man. But hey, before you get out of here, man, tell audience how they can find your content because listen, we got listeners all over this damn country. And guess what? You know what, audience? It don't matter that he covers in Texas. He's a football guy. He knows ball. So talk to him, Cody. How can they find your stuff?
Man, you just throw the name into the search engine on YouTube and you'll find it, Cody Stoots, Stoots. And then I do all my writing about the Texans on my site, Houston Football, and that one's just www.houfootball.com. And you're saying to yourself, nobody said www in 20 years. I'm like, yeah, but now you're gonna remember
That's right. That's how they
it.
remember. Cody, man, this was dope, man. I appreciate it. We should do this again over the course of the season, my man.
Let's do it.
All right, my man. Hey, thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
All right, peace. Well, audience, there you have it. And that's why, we try to be intentional with the content that we put on this show. So we definitely weren't as consistent this season, but I feel like when we did come on here, we were giving you guys great content like what we were just able to offer here with Cody. The big thing for us, we just want to make sure that when we do come online, we guys are giving you guys a reason to continue to keep rocking with us. And we always say, man, we appreciate you guys. We love, love, love connecting with our Bears Nation. We love connecting with our diehard, our day ones. This thing for me and A-Dub, we always say that this is a huge, huge privilege that we're able to have this show and to be able to connect with each and every one of you. And we're going to continue to do that. So we thank you guys for continuing to rock with us. And as always, bear the fuck down, and we are out.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.